this morning as we considered the place of Mary in what we call the Christmas story, and how she recognized God as sovereign, and as how she knew him as her saviour and determined to be his servant, that we thought just how wonderful it was that God's own son should come from heaven to be an embryo, to be a baby, to be a boy, to be a man, and to die and rise again for us. And this song just reminds us again that Jesus came to earth as a man. It's a miracle. It's a mystery. He chose to become one of us. We might belong to him forever. From power and glory, he entered our story. He chose to be one of us. From his throne to a stable, from his crown to his cradle, he chose to be one of us. From the heart of his father to the arms of his mother, he chose to be one of us. Once awesome in splendor, he became weak and tender. He chose to be one of us. He came to earth so that we might find heaven. He lived his life as a man made of dust. This is a miracle. This is a mystery. He chose to be one of us. From a place high and holy, he became weak and lowly. He chose to be one of us. So humbly he entered as a friend to the sinner. He chose to be one of us. He came to earth so that we might find heaven. He lived his life as a man made of dust. This is the miracle. This is the mystery. He chose to be one of us. This is the miracle, this is the mystery. He chose to be one of us. Thank you. reading from Matthew and chapter 1. Again, as I said this morning, very, very well-known words. Words that we have heard over and over and over again. And we pray, don't we, that as we read them yet another time, and we will hear them even more over the next couple of weeks, that we won't just say, oh, I know that story. I know about that. But that God will speak to us. This morning we were thinking about Mary, the one who was either made too much of or not much of at all. Tonight we're going to be looking at Joseph, the forgotten man of the Christmas story. He doesn't get much of a look in, does he, Joseph? Not really. And yet, we can learn so many lessons, some of them very similar to the ones that we had learned this morning, that they bear repeating. So let's read about Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And then in chapter 2, we have the visit of the Magi, or the wise men, and how the Herod plans to go and find Jesus to kill him. And the wise men go home another way. But in verse 13, we read, "When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up,' he said, 'take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.' So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt until he stayed, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt have I called my son.' And then later, when Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead.' So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel." So, Joseph. Little boy always wants to be Joseph, doesn't he? He wants to dress up in his tea towel and his dressing gown and march Mary up the aisle of the church. But really, he doesn't seem to have a lot to do, does he? And we forget about him, I think, so easily. And because he doesn't seem to appear much more, you know, we read once more when Jesus is 12 years of age in the temple. And after that, where's Joseph? He has a very short part to play. But he is so important. What do we know about him? Not a lot. Not a lot. Even less than perhaps we know about Mary. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 4, I've written that down now. He is of the line and house of David, which is why when the taxation comes, he and Mary have to go to Bethlehem. So he's in the house and line of David. He is pledged to be married to Mary. He is betrothed to this young girl. We're not sure how old he is. You know, often in films we see him portrayed as a lot older than she is, but there's no reason that we should suppose that, apart from the fact that maybe we think he died quite early on. But again, we're not told. But he's pledged to be married to this young girl. And as I said this morning, it's more than an engagement. It's a betrothal. It's probably been organised by the families, in the way that it was done in those days and still in some cultures today. And Mary and Joseph would have stood before their families and their elders. And Joseph would have said to her the words of the betrothal ceremony, which I think I may have talked to you about before, where he says, "Don't be worried, don't be anxious. I'm going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house, and when it's ready, I'll come back and get you." Those are the words that Jesus uses just before he goes to heaven. He's quoting from a betrothal ceremony. And so Joseph would have said to Mary, "Sometime soon, when the house is ready, when everything's done, I'll come back and we will be married. I'll come and get you and I will take you home with me." And so they're in this time of betrothal. And as I said this morning, somebody did tell me that during that time they probably wouldn't have seen each other at all. Maybe not even allowed to speak to each other. So sometime during this time of betrothal, he gets this message, either from Mary or her parents. Mary's pregnant. She's been visited by an angel, and it's a miraculous child because it's been conceived by the Holy Spirit. What does Joseph think? What does Joseph think? And we're told here in Matthew that he thought about what to do. He thought about the law, by which he could have had her stoned for being unfaithful or committing adultery because they were betrothed. He could have exposed her to public disgrace, dragged her and her family before the council, before the synagogue, and said, "Guess what she's done? She's having a baby and it's not mine." So maybe just quietly, he'll break off the betrothal, which was pretty drastic, and send her away somewhere quiet. All made sense, didn't it? But there must have been a part of him that thought, "That can't be my Mary. I know Mary. She's a godly girl. She knows God. She loves God. She knows the scriptures. She wants to do what he says. What's going on?" And he goes to sleep. Perhaps he's tossing and turning and praying in his sleep, and it's all going round his mind. "You know, Mary's having a baby. It's not mine. What am I going to do?" And an angel appears in a dream and says, "Don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. What you've heard is true. This baby is nothing to do with a man. This baby has nothing to do with what Mary has done or not done. This baby is all to do with God. She's going to give birth to a son. And you're going to call him Jesus, because that means saviour." And so he hears God's voice. And because he's a righteous man, because he's got a good relationship with God, he hears, he sees, he believes, and he acts on it. He was called by God to be the father to the Son of God. Wow. We said this morning that Mary was called to be the mother of God's Son, to carry him for 9 months, to give birth to him, just as an ordinary baby is given birth to. There's no special miracles. Didn't happen ultra quick, not without any fuss or bother. It was a normal birth. But here Joseph is called to be the father of God's son. There's a song that sometimes in the Bethesda choir some of the men sing, and I'm just trying to remember some of the lines. It's called Joseph's Song. And he says, "Father, show me how I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? All my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king?" How is Joseph fitting into this plan of God? You know, I said this morning it was all sorted out way back in eternity. God sorted out the place, he sorted out the time, he sorted out the people. And here is Joseph, this righteous, godly, loving man. And he hears what God says. And he believes it. And so he goes home, or he wakes up. And he did what God said. And he took Mary home as his wife. So he was from the house and line of David. He's pledged to be married to Mary. He's righteous. He's thoughtful. He's just an ordinary person doing an ordinary job. I believe he was a patient man. Because he took Mary home as his wife. Now, I'm not quite sure what sort of ceremony they had at this point. You know, whether it was the big ceremony that they would have had normally, or did they just do something quiet? But we're told that he was patient enough not to even consummate the marriage until some time after they were married, which you have to admit is pretty unusual. He was patient enough to wait for the right time, even for that. He was a patient man. And I love this. He was a man who heard God's voice. And every time he heard it, he believed it and obeyed it. That's why I read those other passages. It said, you know, he had a dream telling him that Mary's baby was from God. And he believed it. And he took Mary home and he married her. Later on, probably a couple of years later, when the wise men are visited, what happens? An angel appears to Joseph in a dream. He was obviously one of those people that God gave dreams to. And he says, "Take the child and go away quickly, because someone is going to kill them." And he didn't stop to wonder. He didn't stop to think, "Well, did I really think dream that?" He said he got up and took them away in the night. He obeyed God immediately. Because the safety of his child and his wife were absolutely important to him. He heard what God said. There's trouble. Herod wants to kill this child, the one who's going to be the savior of the world. So you've got to take him away. Straight away, he obeys. And then later on, he gets another dream. And the angel says, "You can leave Egypt now. You can go back home." And so what does he do? He got up, he took the child and his mother and went back to Nazareth. Four times, we are told, that Joseph had, or three times, he had a dream. And each time, he acted on it because he heard God's voice. Wow. Joseph believed God when he first heard him, even though what he was told was humanly impossible. You know, a lot of people say today, don't know it, of course, you can't believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. Virgin birth? Well, it's ridiculous, isn't it? And we can't explain it, but we have to try and sort of say, well, yes, we do believe it. Joseph believed it. When he was told it was time to run away, because there was danger, he believed it. When there was time to come back because it was safe, he believed it. He obeyed God, even though his reputation would be tarnished. We said this about Mary this morning, didn't we? That she was willing to say, let it be to me according to your will, I'm your servant, even though she knew that people would gossip. And they did. Even though she knew that people would talk. And they did. Joseph knew exactly the same. There would be some people that would say, heard about Joseph? Got married in a hurry. Ran off to Bethlehem. Wonder what happened there. There's some talk that it actually wasn't. It was, you know, he was willing to take that risk. That he would be made fun of. That his reputation would be spoiled. He was willing to wait for that time when he would know Mary fully. When perhaps he would have been impatient. Joseph heard the call of God and was willing to listen. And as we said about Mary this morning, to trust and obey. I believe that Joseph is an example of the fact that we don't have to be prominent or visible to be part of God's plan. He was content and secure enough to be in that supportive role because he knew that's where God wanted him to be. Mary couldn't have done without him, could she? He was kind and thoughtful. He was a man who believed God, who listened to God, who obeyed God and kept her and the Son of God safe. Later on, he had to learn, like Mary, that Jesus had prior claim on a parent. When he was growing up, we're told that Jesus lived in Nazareth and he grew in stature and in wisdom and he was obedient to his parents. Son of God, doing what a carpenter told him. Jesus, tidy up. Jesus, clean the straw off the floor. Jesus, hold the nails. But the time came when he was 12 and he turned to his earthly father and said, don't you know, I've got to be about my father's business. Do you think that twisted a bit? I've brought you up all these years, I'm your dad. But he had to learn, like Mary did, that the first place was given to his heavenly father. Will we be like Joseph? Whether we're men or women. You see, we can all be like Mary, even if we're men. And we can all be like Joseph, even if we're women. Are we righteous? Not because we're good, but because we've received the righteousness of Christ by trusting in our Saviour. Are we godly, wanting to please God more than anyone else? Are we thoughtful people and prayerful people? Do we make snap judgments and snap decisions? You see, Joseph, when he heard about Mary, could have said, well, that's it, I'm off. If that's the way she's going to behave, I'll get the stones in. If that's the way she's going to behave, I'll call for the Sanhedrin and the elders and she'll be in trouble. He could have just... And don't we sometimes, we hear something, a snap decision, a snap judgment. Not Joseph. He's prayerful. He's thoughtful. He's just. And when God speaks, he listens. You know, Mary was spoken to by an angel, and she believed. Joseph was spoken to in a dream by an angel, and he believed. I don't know how God speaks to you. Maybe you've been visited by an angel. I don't know. Maybe you've had a dream. Some people do. Maybe you've had a vision. Maybe you've been reading the word and something just jumps out at you. And you think, that's for me. Maybe a friend has been talking to you and said something. Maybe the preacher has said something that you think, oh, I need to do something about that. But God is a God who wants to communicate with us. God is a God who talks to us. God is a God who speaks to us. Maybe not out loud, but in some way or another. Do we listen when he speaks? Do we believe when he speaks? Do we trust when he speaks? Do we obey when he speaks? Are we obedient, ready to be whatever God wants us to be? Whether it's great or small, whether it's prominent or behind the scenes, whether it's long remembered or soon forgotten by human beings. Because whatever we do, whatever we give for God, is never in vain. You just read through the pages of Scripture, and there are the people that we remember, aren't there? There is Mary and Joseph. We think about Peter, we think about Paul, we think about David, we think about, you can think of so many people. And yet hidden sometimes in the lines of Scripture are names that only come once. And they haven't done very much, but they're in there. And there's others, just as a certain lady. She did this. She might not be remembered by name, but she's recorded forever. Read Hebrews 11. You start off with this great long list of people who were great and who've done wonderful things, and then it's, there were ladies who, and there were people who, and the world wasn't worthy of them. You see, we don't know, do we, what God calls us to do, what effect it will have on other people, and how long that effect will last. You know, 2,000 years later, obviously, we're still reading about Mary and about Joseph, who were prepared to do what God said, even though it was costly, even though it wasn't easy. They didn't know they were going to be written down about in the Bible. I don't think so anyway. You know, they didn't say, oh, well, we'll do that because one day we'll be famous. And all the preachers will read about us at Christmas time. They said, we'll do that because that's what God is calling us to do. And so whatever God is calling you to do today, are you going to do it? Whatever God is calling me to do today, are you going to do it? Content in the fact that we're doing God's will, and that he will use it for his plan and his purpose. And whether the effect lasts for 5 minutes or 500 years, it doesn't matter. Because we're doing what God has asked. But it's wonderful, isn't it, to read about these people in the Bible. It tells us that these things are written for our learning. So I want Mary and Joseph at this Christmas time to be examples to us and to me of the kind of people that we should be. Knowing God as sovereign, knowing God as Saviour, being his servants, being believing and listening and obedient and trusting. So that wherever we go, whatever we do, we will bring glory to him and help other people to come to know him too. I suppose it's useless to speculate what would have happened if Mary had said no. She wasn't going to, was she? But you see, if we say no to God, God will find someone else to do it. And we'll miss out on the blessing. So let's be listening. We may not be visited by angels. We may not have a dream tonight. We may not have a vision. But are we listening? And when God speaks, will we do something about it? Let's trust. Let's be courageous. Let's serve. And then we will be part of God's plan for this world. Whether it's here in this church, in the next street, with the people that live next door to you, or whether you will have an effect that reaches far, far away, or far, far into the future. Something that you do today may not have any effect for 20 years. But do it anyway. Because that's what God calls us to do. Jesus came into this world to obey his Father. It cost him his glory for a season. It cost him his reputation. It cost him his life. And he says to us today, follow me, walk in my steps, and do what I ask you to do for his glory and for the benefit of others. So this Christmas, let's be like Mary. Let's be like Joseph. Let's not be like Herod. Let's be like the shepherds. Let's be like the wise men. But most of all, let's pray that we might become more like Jesus and live lives that bring honour and glory to him. Amen.